Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
You're listening to Believe You Me with Michael the Count Bisbing.
You know my name yet?
And Anthony Lionheart Smith.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Monday morning. Monday afternoon, should I say. What am I saying? I'm tired. I'm exhausted. Great weekend in New York City. Anthony feels like me. He's taking a nap. So today we have the one, the only, Jesse on fire. What's up, Jesse? How you been?
How are you, sir? I'm excellent.
I'm exhausted. Yeah. I'm absolutely bloody exhausted. Busy week in New York last week. It never stopped. I was in Brazil before that. Flew straight up and straight off the plane. Non-stop content for UFC 296. Five. Wake up, Bisping. UFC 295. But it was totally worth it. I mean, what an event. I mean, we're going to get into all that stuff. But was that one of the quickest fight main cards in recent memory? Dude. Because all finishes.
It seemed like every fight was awesome the entire way, all through the prelims. Every fight seemed like it was awesome. I can't think of a single bad fight that was on that card.
It was tremendous. We'll start with the co-main event because Tom Aspinall is a friend of the show. He comes on here all the time. He's a good friend of mine as well. I went round. I was very confident. I was very bullish. I even had DC calling me up and saying, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Are you just trying to hype this fight?" He said, "I know you guys are friends, but what on earth are you doing, Bisping? Sergey's the real deal." And I was like, "Look, listen, we are buddies, but it's not because I'm biased." I said, "You look at the performances that he's had. That's why I'm so confident." And then he goes out there. I was nervous because Tom looked very, very nervous going into the fight, and rightly so, right? He's fighting for the interim belt. Sergey Pavlovich is a killer. He's got one punch knockout power. You know the rest. Walks out, fight starts. 69 seconds. He's on his feet. He's moving and grooving. He got caught a couple of times. I was concerned, very, very concerned, but he was moving around. He was dancing around the octagon. And then 1-2, left hook, sits him down. I think it was a left hook or a right hook. Regardless, sits him down. Massive hammer fist. That's it. Falls on the floor. The new interim heavyweight champion of the world. The arena lost its goddamn mind. How was the experience for you, Jesse, sitting at home?
It was incredible. And I picked him also. I went 1-for-2. I picked him.
Come
and
on,
I picked,
don't lie.
Oh, it's on record. I picked him by stoppage too. Picked him by stoppage.
Nice.
But
nice,
I also
nice.
Picked Jiří by stoppage. So that was obviously wrong.
Right, I picked right Jiří as well.
Wrong for the other. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it was unbelievable. And it was funny because I hung out with the Black Rifle Coffee guys the previous week, and they were at the event because they did that sponsorship. And, you know, I was trying to explain to them this fight. And I was like, dude, I was like, Tom Aspinall is this 265-pound guy from the UK who will beat up 11 guys in a row and then go have sex with all of their wives because he's super good looking and well-spoken. And then you got the other guy is this Russian bear who could have invaded Ukraine by himself. And then so when Tom Aspinall knocked him out, he texted me. He was like, you said this fight was going to be insane. I'm like, I told you, dude. I told you.
Yeah. Awesome. I mean, it's wild how easily Tom went through him because Tom's known as a tactician. He's known for his heavy hands, of course, like all heavyweights. But it was Sergey, the one that everyone was thinking maybe he'll get the first round knockout. You know, I thought Tom was going to take his time. I went backstage beforehand, had a little chat with him. He even said any last minute advice for me. And I was like, well, who am I to give you advice, Tom? You're doing incredible things. I said, but just remember that octagon's huge. You know, don't stand in front of him. You know, but just ultimately be yourself. That's what I said to him. I said, ultimately, just do you, man. You fight the way you always fight. You're going to be more than fine. I mean, it just shows what I mean, I don't know who's going to stop Tom Aspinall. I texted him. I said, look, listen, buddy. I said, this is the start of a wild ride for you now. I said, in 10 years' time, you're going to have 20, 30, maybe more million in the bank. I said, it won't be long before you're buying a new house. I said, you know, this is the start. This is the start of an epic run. Of course, there's John Jones. Of course, there's Stipe Miocic. Mm-hmm. And they will be tough fights, right? Or maybe not. I guess time will tell. But outside of them two, and you never know if that fight is going to materialize. But outside of them two, I genuinely do not see anybody in the heavyweight division giving him a problem anytime soon. He can knock anybody out. He can take anybody down. And he can submit probably all of them as well. He literally is the heavyweight George St. Pierre.
I totally agree with that take. And it's hard to even, it's hard to say that he ends up fighting John Jones or Stipe, because if John Jones wins, he said he's going to retire. I don't think Stipe comes back if he loses to John Jones. The only guy where there's a question mark is just Almeida, in case he does some crazy jiu-jitsu thing. But Aspinall is an incredible grappler also. You know what I wanted to ask you as I was listening to you talk and think about this was like, how much of the nerves, because you've obviously done this yourself, how much of the nerves do you think were tied to the fact that he didn't have a training camp? He basically came in injured. I mean, like, what's that like to walk into the biggest fight of your life knowing you are essentially the most ill-prepared that you've ever been for a fight?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I mean, fortunately for me, when I stepped up on short notice, I was doing a film, so I was still running most days. So my cardio wasn't too bad. And for Tom, same thing. He wasn't doing a film, but he just had a year away from the octagon. So he was trying to maximize his potential. He said, I'm not going to take any time off. He wasn't in training camp. There's a massive difference between training camp and staying in the gym. But as you mentioned, he was injured. He didn't tell anyone. He had a bad back, so he couldn't train. I mean, that just shows what type of man we're dealing with here. On that tremendous run, comes back, beats Martin Tybura, so he reinserts himself to the conversation, steps up 2.5 weeks against Sergey, no training camp, bad back, and another loss would have really slowed down the hype. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But he was still willing to risk all that to become interim champion and walked through it, made it look easy. And he took a shot as well. He proved that he has a chin, because Sergey Pavlovich puts people to sleep and he took a heavy one. I was like, oh my God. Oh my God, I don't believe this. No, Tom, get out of there. But yeah, man, as I said.
You were cage side.
Yeah.
Like that was a really heavy shot, right? Like on TV, that looked like he got hit flush with that shot that he got hit with. Is that what it said? Like, did it sound loud cage side?
Well, I couldn't hear anything. And that's why my voice is gone, because Harrington was at the fights with me. Harrington, jump on, brother. Harrington was there with me. And we had a great night. We went out, we had a little steak beforehand. Didn't we, Harrington? A little unlimited ribeye. And my voice was fine. But then that happened with Tom and I was screaming like an absolute maniac. And then here we are. It's better now. Saturday night, I had to do an ESPN post-fight show, TNT Sports post-fight show. And I was literally like this. And everyone just thinks I was getting wasted the whole week. But that's not true, is it, Harrington?
No, man, we actually spoke during dinner. We spoke all through the fight up until the Tom card. And then, you know, by the time Pereira came out, it was like, I think he's going to be pretty good in this one.
Yeah, yeah.
You're done for.
But Harrington, we couldn't hear the sound of the punches. I mean, the crowd in there Saturday night, like always at MSG, the atmosphere was absolutely incredible. That was our main event. Of course, the main event, we'll get to that in a second. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Harrington, give me your thoughts on the fight, on Tom Aspinall, where he is now.
I mean, it was absolutely incredible. And like the watching it back, it's hard to see, you know, from that angle, but the head movement that Tom displayed while Sergey was coming in at him with absolutely everything, you know, following it up, finishing, killer instinct, all of it, love Aspinall. But yeah, I mean, that, like, it was more like the pop from the crowd. Like, as soon as he connected, the entire crowd erupted because they knew. Like, it was a no doubter shot that he put him down with. It was pretty sick.
Yeah. Yeah. And on top of it all, he's just the nicest guy. He really is. He's so nice and he's humble. He's got a sense of humor. As you say, you know, he's very well spoken. He's intelligent. He's articulate. You know, he's coming for my job for damn sure. Do you know what I mean? He's going to be commentating. He's going to be working on TNT Sports. You know, they'll be like Bisping's old news. But he really is. He's the total package, man. I don't know about going out there and sleeping with everybody's wives, Jesse. He's a married man.
He's really good.
No, I know. Oh, and by the way,
how big is he in real life? Like, is he enormous in real life? I've never seen him in person.
Pull up on my Instagram because there's a picture of me and him backstage in the locker room. Dude, he's massive. He towers over me. He makes me look like Demetrius Johnson. He really does.
And for anyone who hasn't seen Mike in real life, you're huge in real life.
Well,
you are surprisingly large in real life.
I'm not a small person, but I wouldn't say I'm huge, but I'm not small by any stretch. I mean, I'm getting heavier and heavier by the day or by the years these days. But yeah, that's not too bad.
Wow, so dude.
But he's a big dude. He's a big, big dude. And his father as well. We're going to give him a special shout out, Andy Aspinall. His father quit work 18 years ago to focus on Tom. To focus on making him the best fighter that he can be to get into this day. So he literally obviously conceived the child and then gave up everything, dedicated it all to this mom. So it's as much a victory for his dad as it is for Tom. And then final word, I love the beginning of the fight as well. Both men embraced each other, give each other a little hug, no trash talk, no bullshit, none of that. She's like, hey, we're going to rip each other's heads off. It's all respectful. We both want to be the champion. And then let's fight. I thought it was a beautiful moment.
I totally agree. I just got goosebumps thinking about the thing with his dad. And also that moment also, especially given the state of the world, he's a Russian fighter and a Western fighter. And then I loved that at the beginning of that, especially that fight too.
Yeah.
Those guys are both just murder machines.
I mean, the problem is for now, when does he fight again? Because Jones and Stipe, I don't know when that's going to happen. We're going to think it's going to be, 9 months? Probably 12 months, something like that. Stipe's no spring chicken, with respect. Mm-mm. Jones might come back and then retire, even if he beats him. I don't think he should. I think Jones, I mean, the perfect plan for John Jones would be go to heavyweight, become the champion, beat Stipe, who's the greatest heavyweight, and then beat the number one contender, or now as we have, an interim champion. I think if Jones doesn't fight Tom Aspinall and he retires, we know what everyone's going to say. I don't even need to say it. You know what I mean? So Jones, I think his back's up against the wall if he beats Stipe, of course.
Mm-hmm. And can you imagine if John Jones beat Tom Aspinall after beating Stipe and then he retired? It's like, because that, if he beat Tom Aspinall, I would just be like, that's a wrap for the GOAT conversation for sure, I would say.
But it's never going to happen. I'm sorry. I think he's incredible. If you look at it on paper, Jones has never been a knockout artist with his hands. Mm-hmm. He takes people down. He wears them down. And, you know, he has master game plans. The fight IQ is through the roof. Taking him down, taking Tom down, I don't know. He's a great wrestler. He probably could. He took DC down a couple of times. I think Tom could get back to the feet. But on the feet, I think Tom takes his head off. I really do. Jones has been caught a few times. Like Machida, probably. And this is the thing about John Jones. This is how great he is. I've got to go back to the Lyoto Machida fight to find out and highlight a time where he was kind of hurt and wobbled. And I don't know when that was, 2012 or something. Do you know what I mean? So I'm not ripping on Jones. I think he's incredible. But I did say John Jones could not hold a candle to Tom Aspinall. And it started to look like that.
Yeah, I think Tom Aspinall is an utterly nightmare matchup for anyone that's currently in the UFC heavyweight division.
I mean,
John Jones included. He doesn't have any weaknesses.
Yeah, but it's almost disrespectful to John Jones to say that. You know what I mean? We all know about the resume. We don't need to go through it. And Jones is legitimately hurt. Look at what he did to Cyril Garn. And then look at what Garn just did to Spivak. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's all this. We are kind of getting ahead of ourselves. John Jones beat so many great people. And as I said, the fight IQ, the strategy, the wrestling. I mean, Daniel Cormier just out-wrestles everybody, but not John Jones. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So maybe, you know, maybe I'm just excited. So if you see this, John, don't come after me. Do you know what I mean? And the good news is for me, go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, nothing against John Jones at all. It's like, let me ask you this. You think, like, did you pick Tom Aspinall to win by stoppage? And if so, did you have him by knockout? Or because I heard people saying that they had him by submission. And I was like, dude, Pavlovich has no neck. Like, you know what I mean?
I didn't have him by knockout. I thought he would in and out like the way he was. I didn't think he was going to get clipped the way that he did, but then I thought he'd shoot a double leg takedown, and I thought he'd get mount position and just smash him with elbows. I didn't realize that he had that kind of power. I should have done, because Marcin Tybura, he dropped him with a beautiful 1-2. You know, he's got big, big power. I mean, he's sparred thousands of rounds with Tyson Fury. And granted, okay, right? Tyson Fury. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He sparred with Tyson Fury for years.
Oh, I had no idea. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I think Tom, I guess Tyson's Fury, I guess his stock dropped a little bit because of the Ngannou fight. I also think that Fury, not taking away from Ngannou, I think Fury probably took him lightly, you know, and then paid the price there. He still won the fight. Stock has dipped. I think he's going to come back and we'll have a rematch. And who knows who wins that? I thought Ngannou won that fight. But the fight that Tom sparred him so much, I think Tom could go over to heavyweight boxing and do just fine. I think Tom Aspinall is going to go down in the future as one of the greatest combat sports athletes we've ever seen, certainly at heavyweight, because the heavyweights, there's not many guys. That's why, well, not Jones, he's been like heavyweight. That's why guys like Stipe stand out so much. I mean, who else has come into the UFC and left this kind of mark so quickly, so fast? And I know he lost to Curtis Blaydes, but that's because he blew his knee out.
Yeah, it's injury.
Yeah. Who else is like, there? That doesn't count. I can't think of anyone.
Do you consider that a loss? Like when you think about his record, you know, and you see that number, because I don't even, I just think of that as like as the same as blowing your knee out in practice almost, because it's not like Curtis did anything to win that fight.
Well, it's a legitimate win for Curtis Blaydes because two men entered the octagon.
Sure.
And then it ended with Tom on the floor. You know what I mean? So whatever it's happens, fair. Yes, granted, Curtis didn't do it. It wasn't like Curtis kicked his knee out, but it is a win for Curtis, but I don't have it, to answer your question, a loss for Tom. It's a win for Curtis, but it wasn't a loss for Tom. It will always, it's not, I was going to say it's like John Jones where he has the disqualification. Yeah, it's kind of like that. Jones won that, well, Jones stopped him with an elbow. So it's a little bit different, but it's kind of like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Oh dear. Harrington, any Curtis final words? Or Brian, any, Harrington or Brian, any final thoughts before we get onto the main event? Oh, they've run off.
No, you guys covered it, man. I'm just excited to see Tom with the belt and waiting for that John Jones fight.
What did you think, Brian, looking at home, watching from home?
I thought Harrington was a big ball of class.
In what way? What do you mean?
I just T-shirt and collared shirt. And like they just showed Jared Leto like 30 seconds before that, who's wearing more than like our entire network is worth.
Yeah.
You know, it's just hilarious to me.
Harrington, jump on and defend yourself. So Jesse, I had two tickets and I said, one for me, obviously, no offense. I said, but I can't, you know what I mean? I tried to get Brian one as well. Harrington came, Brian very graciously said, Harrington, you take it. And Harrington, you had the Legion of Skanks vest on, you had a shirt, you know, but Brian's saying you didn't make the effort.
I was true to myself, Mr. Bisping. I mean, you want me to go Hollywood? Cause I'm on, you know, hanging out one time, next to the thing. That's who I am. I'm literally currently wearing a piece of merch. Like that's my whole wardrobe.
It also depends on where your seats were, you know, like where were the seats?
Front row.
Oh,
with all the fancy folks.
Yeah. All the specials.
I'm not gonna lie. I did see suits worth more than a Mercedes there, and I was like, man, I wish I'd gone to Men's Warehouse.
Here. Yeah, I get
just
it.
Like rented a tux for it.
You don't belong here. Oh dear. Well, next time, Brian, you've got it. All right, Tom Aspinall. Please.
For the Tom Aspinall thing, did you hear about him after the fight?
What?
He was like he made the case for John Jones, but Ciryl Gane came out, right? Ciryl Gane, who famously said he had no interest in fighting him after UFC Paris. He said, you're the hunted now, so I'm coming for you. Tom Aspinall kind of laughed it off and said, you're going to need a number one contender fight at this point, and suggested Jailton Almeida.
Yeah, no, I did see that, and thanks for bringing it up. You can't blame Ciryl Gane. He didn't want to fight behind himself in the ranking. Tom's now the champ, so that makes sense. I understand Tom's perspective. I mean, Tom's just going to need opponents, you know, whether it's Ciryl Gane, whether it's Jailton, whether they face each other and he fights the winner. I think Tom could turn it around pretty quickly. He didn't do a training camp. He took one shot to the face, you know. Yeah. He could come back whenever, so I don't know when that will be. Ciryl Gane, he's a big name. We could do that somewhere in Europe. I'm not sure when the next European UFC card is, but if you could pick one guy right now for Tom to defend the interim title against, who would that be? And Hamilton and Brian, I'll throw the same to you.
Let me ask you a question about that really quick, because I actually did a video about this yesterday, and I think I titled it something like "The UFC Heavyweight Division is Fucked." And I was saying, like, you know, you have the lineal champion, Francis, not in the organization. You have John Jones tied up, injured, and about to fight Stipe. You have arguably the best heavyweight now carrying the interim title. As soon as John Jones and Stipe fight, does the interim title go away? Or what, you know, because like with Colby, they just like it, and with Tony Ferguson, it just kind of went away. And so does he defend the interim belt? Because it's probably going to be, like with John Jones, they said he's out 10 months. So does that mean that he could start training in 10 months or he can come back in 10 months? So it seems like he might defend the interim belt before John could come back and fight. So I don't know. How do you think that's going to play out?
Yeah, I mean, you raise some good points, certainly. You know, I wouldn't say it's effed, fucked, but I get the sentiment. I understand the sentiment, you know, and obviously Ngannou would be an exciting fight, but they couldn't do a deal with him.
Yeah.
And he's elsewhere. Did you see the part where somebody at the post-fight press conference was asking Dana about doing a co-promotion? Dana just lost his mind. He's like, what the fuck are you talking? It's the stupidest question ever. It really is. I mean, why would he try and raise their profile?
Exactly.
I don't know. I don't know what to do. I think Tom's going to want to fight. He's fresh. Mm-hmm. He's young. You know, I think he said to me that he's just got a new contract that he's extremely happy with. He said it's life-changing stuff. So I think he'll want to fight again ASAP. I think the UFC, they want champions on fight cards. They need championship fights on pay-per-views. So I think we'll see Tom... I think the front runner would be Cyril Garn. He's a massive name. Yeah. He's got the country of France behind him. You know, he lost to Jones, but I think Tom and Cyril, that makes a great matchup.
It does. That's awesome about his new contract too.
Isn't Tom suspended now? For a little
Why while? Would he be suspended?
I read something about his back injury. Is that something that was like clickbait? I'm sorry for bringing that up.
Medical suspension after
medical like, suspension for a few months. Yeah.
Yeah, but medical suspensions from the doctors, they're not worth the air that we're breathing to say the sentence.
So the commission doesn't be like, the doctor says you can't fight, so we say you can't fight.
All you've got to do is go to a doctor and they say it's clear, it's done, you're fine, and the suspension is gone. You know, or sometimes they might make it 30 days, 60 days, whatever. But if you go to a doctor and they say you're fine, then there you go. So I wouldn't worry about a medical suspension. Harrington, your thoughts?
I was going to say, you clear up the logjam, right? The thing that makes the most sense is Stipe Miocic. He's not injured. He doesn't have anything going on. Have him come and fight Tom Aspinall, and you make the Jones fight either to unify the belt or you get Stipe out of the way. And when Jones is healthy, Tom Aspinall's right there.
I agree.
Dana said he went to dinner with Stipe, and Stipe is only interested in fighting John Jones. So, I mean, you know, who knows? Who knows? I mean, I agree with everything that you said. It just seems like relevant context.
Stipe does make the most logical sense. But if I'm Stipe, you got to think that he's at the edge of his career, you know, retiring soon. I mean, the word is he's going to fight Jones and retire, win or lose. So you want to fight Jones for legacy, for pay-per-view, for money. And of course, once you see Tom Aspinall doing that, you're not going to go, right, I'll risk everything to take Tom on. You're like, no,
yeah.
I only want to fight John Jones because if I lose to that guy, it doesn't matter and I'm going to retire everywhere. Anyway, did you see the reaction? So the UFC cut, I was losing my mind, losing my voice, and it goes along and everyone's like cheering, clapping and all the rest of it. And it gets to Stipe and Stipe's just locked in like that. Did you see that?
I did. And Stipe, he's one of those guys that doesn't communicate what's going on internally very well, externally, but you could just see it in him. And then, I know Anthony's good buddies with him. And I know some other people that are close to him who told me that like he wanted that Francis rematch so bad before Francis was out of the organization. Like he's just a savage. Like that guy is a savage man.
Oh, no, for sure. Let's do a four shot, Brian. Friday night, was it Friday night? Yeah, Friday night. So I went out for dinner. Anthony texts me. He says, we're going to a club tonight if you want to come. And I'm like, I don't really fancy clubs. I said, what's it called? And he says, Bounce Sporting Club. So I thought, oh, it's a sports bar. It's not a club. He's doing an appearance at the sports bar. So myself and some of the guys from TNT Sports, John, who works on my YouTube channel, he's a character. We all went along. We went in there. And when we got there, I was like, oh, no, this is a full-on nightclub. Anyway, point of the story is we get in there. There's Anthony, Chris Weidman, Jean Volante, Aljamain Sterling, Stipe Miocic, and everyone. They were, shall we say, getting down. They were having a good time. I won't go into full details. There might have been a few shirts off. Do you know what I mean? But they were enjoying themselves, and rightly so. Me, like a good little boy, I had one beer, and I bounced. But Harrington, you know this club well.
Yeah, it's funny. Like when I was in my early 20s, my friends and I would call it the Bounce House. And it was like a known, like that's a spot you go to at like after, it's the first spot after pre-gaming, like between like 11 and 1 a.m. And it gets crazy at the Bounce House. You chances are you're not leaving. That's the last stop of your night.
Brian. Wait, so was this was Friday or this was after the event?
No, this is Friday. So like someone said to me, oh, did you see Stipe? He looks so pissed off. I think there's a good chance he was just hungover and a little bit tired. You know what I mean? Don't read too much into everything. He's not sitting there stewing and all mad. Oh, Tom's become the interim champ. Nothing. No, he's probably like, oh, dude, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm exhausted. But Brian, dude, what do you
East
think
Coast
about
cards, man? Those East Coast cards. We went to like the, speaking of like what outfit you wear, depending on where you sit. So at UFC Miami, Mike can tell me, Mike used to always like see my wife and I at the shows. He's like, dude, you come to every single show, but like sitting in like regular people seats at the Miami event, we were up with the, like with the NFL guys, cause we were there with Mike McDaniel, the Dolphins coach. And after the event, it was like, people were saying that, you know, Izzy and some guys were going to this club, and I saw Ali and Kamaru and all those guys, and they're all going to this club. And it's 2:38 in the morning. I remember that, and just being like, dude, it's 2:40 in the morning. So we got in our car and went back to Mike's house. And the next morning I saw the videos of like Chuck Liddell in the middle, Izzy with his shirt off, all those guys were those guys were raging at this club till like 6 a.m. And we're like, damn, we fucked up. We should have gone to that thing. The whole entire UFC all went there and we didn't go.
Brian, what do you think of this narrative that Harrington is trying to paint? Like he was some like big time nightclub goer in Manhattan. I was always at the Bounce House. Me and my crew, we used to get tables and bottles. Well, is this the Harrington that we know that shows up half homeless at the fights?
To be honest, Harrington has retired from partying because he did it too hard. So I don't disbelieve that he used to spend an exceptional amount of hours in a degenerate nightclub.
And money as well.
Yeah.
To be fair, was it a degenerate nightclub? It was a nice place and nice establishment.
I figured.
Very, very nice staff. All right, today's episode is sponsored by Manscaped, who are the world's leader in men's personal grooming. You know about the lawnmower, okay? But now we're going to talk about the Beard Hedger Pro Kit, okay? This kit, if you have a beard, it's going to be a game changer. The Beard Hedger Pro Kit has made it easier for you to craft your signature look. Starts with the Beard Hedger, of course. It comes with 20 different lengths with a rotary wheel. So no point having a drawer full of add-ons and things like that. It comes with a titanium-coated T-blade, which is tough on hair and smooth on the face. And it's much more than a trimmer. It comes with 4 dermatologist-tested formulations for your post-trim care. It's got the beard shampoo and conditioner because all your hair is different. It comes with the beard oil. The nutrient-infused oil relieves dryness both on the beard and the skin beneath. And then you cap it off with the beard balm so you can shape and you can style it. Oh, and it also comes with 3 free gifts: a beard brush, a comb, and scissors to ensure that your beard is always ready to impress. So right now, get a hold of this thing. If you've got a beard, you won't be disappointed. Just like all the products at Manscaped, they are truly fantastic quality. Go to manscaped.com, use the code BISPING20. You will get 20% off and free shipping. One more time, manscaped.com. Code is BISPING20 for 20% off and free shipping. All right. Anyway, enough about Harrington and his clubbing escapades. The main event. I mean, that was unbelievable. I mean, Alex Pereira. I just like you, I picked Jiří to win this fight. I just had a feeling. I thought with the experience, with the amount of wrestlers that he's beaten, I thought he'd be able to take Alex down, which he did in round one. But for Alex Pereira to get the stoppage the way that he did in round two, just phenomenal. I mean, 4 UFC champions in 7 fights. That man is something special.
Yeah. It's crazy because it, the shots that he puts guys down with are so short, you know, like it's yeah. just like he can generate so much power with such little movement. And it doesn't even, what about the leg kicks though? The first time he kicked Jiří's leg, that's when I was like, yeah. oh wow. He might, I mean, geez. It's cause Jiří's like a sturdy guy, you know, he yeah. really, and he just completely took his legs out from under him with the first kick. I was like, wow, this guy's, and Jan was able to like, so I actually, Anthony called me this morning because he had, you know, whatever happened between him and Alex, where I thought Anthony made some very non-negative comments about Pereira moving up, and then Pereira took him wrong. I think it was just like a bad translation or whatever. And yeah. so I brought that up and I said something like, you know, well, it turns out Anthony was wrong about his power translating to light heavyweight. And so Anthony called me today. He's like, that's not what I said. I was like, all right. But, well, but yeah, I mean, it seems like he knocks people out at both weight classes just the same. You know what I mean?
I mean, to be fair, I mean, Jiří had the right idea. After he ate a couple of calf kicks, he was walking him down because you can't throw calf kicks necessarily if you're going backwards. So he was walking him down, pressuring, trying to take him down. I just thought, I'm a massive fan of Jiří. I love what he brings to the table. I think he's an original personality. He's very big. He's very strong. He's very wild. And I think Saturday night, he was extra wild. I mean, the movements, so he was all over the place. His hands were low. His hands are always low. I think for Jiří, and this is not taken away from Alex's performance because other people haven't been able to beat Jiří in the UFC yet. He's got a few losses outside, but not for a long time. He's so unconventional. But those those fundamentals are required. I would like to see Jiří kind of clean it up a bit, have the hands a little higher. Certainly when you're fighting somebody like Pereira, a man that does have that kind of power. Of course, the wide stance that Jiří had, that's why he was eating those calf kicks, because when the legs are so wide, it's hard to pick one up. If your legs are wide and you lift a foot, you're going to fall over because your weight's not distributed evenly. So a few tweaks I would like to see from Jiří going forward, but at the same time, you can't take away from what makes him great. But look at that. Look at that still there. Look how low the hands are. I mean, yeah, all right, granted, Pereira's aren't exactly, you know, like a boxer, but that's hard to block a shot when your hands are that low. Now, granted, you know, feinting the takedown, all that type of stuff. I would like to see him just neaten things up a touch. But Pereira got the job done. Those elbows against the fence. Let me ask you this, Jesse. When you were at home watching it live and you would have had a better angle than me, because in the arena, everywhere, I was on Fighters Row. I had Jamal Hill next to me. I was sat next to Dustin Poirier. You know, all the top guys were there. Everybody universally thought that was an early stoppage because he tried for the takedown, landed some elbows like Travis Brown did against Josh Barnett. Oh, here we go. I'm glad you played this. Hold on. And I thought right there, because that brutality, that is a legit takedown defense. You push them forward with your hips, you force them to the back, and you land in the mount. And we all thought that it was bullshit. Turns out it wasn't. 100%. What was your initial thoughts?
I 100% thought it was early, you know, because like you said, I thought that he was falling backwards and that he was going to try to skirt out the back and then turn around to take the back. Like, you know, like go underneath his mount. But Jiří saying it wasn't early, I think has equally as much to do with his fundamental ideology as it does his opinion on whether it was an early stoppage. Like, I think he would say that no matter what, because he doesn't want to take any, you know, he doesn't want that hanging over the fight. But I definitely thought it was early. But I mean, he certainly seemed to be hurt. Like when I say I thought he was going to, you know, skirt underneath, I'm not saying that he intentionally went to his back. Like, I think he did get hurt by one of those elbows. At least that's what it looked like on TV. But yeah, I thought he handled it really, really well. And could you see, have you watched the speeches after the fight since you got home? Because I don't think I've ever seen a person who was more emotionally distraught after a fight than Jiří looked. Like, he kept it together, but he looked very upset, like really genuinely upset.
Well, to your point, I think the fact that Jiří conceded that he went out for a second, I mean, what a guy. So many lesser people would have tried to claim that that was an early stoppage, that the referee should have let it go. We see it all the time. I mean, sometimes people legitimately get wiped out, beaten to a pulp, and they still protest it. And for Yuri, even everyone's looking on and thinking it might have been early, said no, absolved Mark Goddard straight away, which, by the way, Mark Goddard will be on Thursday's show, so we can speak to him then. But, I mean, it seems like it was a legitimate stoppage. I think everybody, when they watch it back, when they watch the replays, when they hear from Yuri, I mean, that stops that conversation down there.
Yeah.
But I just feel like I agree with what you said, because he is very much of, and it's cliched, the samurai code. You know what I mean? But he didn't want to take away from Alex's win, which I just thought was just such a show of honor and respect. Do you know what I mean? It's like, no, I don't 100%. Want to do this. I don't want to take away from his win. He just beat me legitimately. I went out for a split second. The referee did the right thing. What did you think, though, and Brian and Harrington, what did you guys think about Pereira's call out? What did you make of
it? I would love to talk about that. I did a video about this yesterday, because I'll tell you how this video came about too. So I saw that Izzy had posted the meme online of Alex Pereira with the Alice or, you know, the Elsa wig on. And he said, I'm living in his head rent free or something like that.
Oh yeah.
And I saw that Alex Pereira's response was, I was respectful to Izzy. And this was his response. And the way that I obviously don't speak Portuguese, but the way I was reading his body language when he was talking is it turns out was exactly what he was actually doing. And I'm like, I think that this is like a really, like, not friendly, but he's trying to like raise Izzy up. And so I called one of my Brazilian jiu-jitsu guys, and I called Victor Hugo, and I asked him, I'm like, did you see Pereira's post-fight speech? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, what was the tone of what he said versus what the interpreter said? He's like, dude, the interpreter completely butchered it. He said that what Alex Pereira actually said was that he owes his career to Israel Adesanya, that he had inspired him to get out of the bar and away from alcoholism, and that he's an incredible rival, he's an incredible talent, and that he's so talented, we should have him back in the thing. Like Victor told me that when he first started talking, before he said Izzy, he thought he was talking about Glover Teixeira and like about his own team. And then at the end, so it was like super respectful. And then at the very end, he said, you know, Israel, he said, Adesanya, come to daddy. And then the interpreter butchered it. And so Izzy thought he was talking shit that whole time and then said, come to daddy. And then he responded on Twitter that way. And it's like, I thought that's just sad. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, to be fair to Alex calling out Izzy, the reality is they're one apiece, right? They're one apiece, but there's Jamal Hill. Jamal Hill has to be the guy. Never mind Israel Adesanya, but the reality is they are one each. So they've got to do the rubber match. And, you know, listen, Izzy's going to do what he can. He got called out. He's got every right to respond. But score is 3-1. The score is 3-1. It's in Pereira's favor. What did you guys think?
Do we know how long Jamal is out for?
He's training.
Like, he's training already. All
right. He's training right now?
Yeah.
Wow. With a torn Achilles. Did his Achilles roll up? Was it torn all the way through?
I have no idea.
Like, we saw him walking around the other day. He looked fine.
He's walking normally. I was in the PI a couple of weeks ago, and he was doing some like circuit training and doing some jumping stuff and things like that. So he's back in the gym. He's training, so it won't be too long. Who knows? Maybe a few months. But that has to be great. The one. Jamal Hill, Alex Pereira. Jamal came out, and rightly so, very confident. He said he doesn't think that either of those guys can issue him a problem. He thinks he'll walk through both of them. It is a big statement. He also listed himself as the number one boxer in all of mixed martial arts. Again, big statement.
Sure.
Thoughts? Up at the top. The production panel at the top. What are your thoughts?
The peanut gallery up here. So I think here's the thing. I did hear that thing about the bar, but I thought that was a subtle dig at Izzy too. Because back in 2020, Izzy said in an interview, I don't think about Alex Pereira. That guy's going to be in some bar somewhere watching me live my dream, talking about how I beat that guy up. And Pereira said he did actually see that, and it dragged him into MMA. So it's like, I felt like that was a callback to like, this is an ongoing rivalry. You brought me here. I'm your nightmare. You can't get away from me just because I'm at 205.
I totally understand. That's how I took it. Yeah. But Victor, the guy who translated it for me, is the four-time ultra heavyweight IBJJF world champion. Like, he's from Brazil and he's a world like, there's no way that he misinterpreted the tone. You know what I mean?
Well, I will say this. Fabiano, the UFC's interpreter. He's one of the best in the business. He's very, very good. So
that's
I don't
know. Thick dude, right?
No, he's the slender guy.
Oh, the guy with the coif?
The slick hair. Fabiano's great. He's awesome. I don't know, Jesse.
Victor said, don't blame the translator because he's like, Alex was talking for a really long time. It's hard to remember. He wasn't saying like the translator did a bad job. He's just like, it's hard to like remember all the shit that they said, but like, it just didn't get communicated that he did it really respectfully is all. That's all.
Did anyone see that Chael Sonnen said that Alex has shown that he hasn't got any better since he came to the UFC? But he was giving him credit saying how great he is, but he hasn't got any better. I don't know about that. I mean, he got taken down from Jan Blachowicz. He got back to his feet. He beat Jan Blachowicz. He beat Israel Adesanya. He knocked out Sean Strickland. He just beat Jiří. Do you know what I mean?
From underneath Jiří too.
Yeah. No, he did. He did. And I thought he did a good job on the ground as well of not taking too much damage. You know, Jiří landed a couple of elbows at the end of the first round, but for the most part, tied him up well, blocked a lot of shots, had some good wrist control. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Who was that fight that he had early on? I can't remember if it was his first or second fight, but the guy took him down and made it pretty
Bruno
ugly
Silva.
The first. And then he landed the flying knee to knock him out, right? Or there was one guy that, yeah. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
so
Bruno
it seems like
though,
he's
as well. Bruno Silva flies under the radar. He is a wild, explosive fighter, but he does have some takedown ability. So he's definitely improved since then. But Chael Sonnen, you got to love that guy. Who's not a fan of Chael? I love the shit he comes out with. So next fight, Jamal Hill, Alex Pereira. What do you think?
What matchups do you think at 205 present the most obvious problems for Alex Pereira?
No, let's have a look at the rankings. I don't know. I mean, you need wrestlers. He's shown on the feet. He can more than hold his own, let's be honest. I don't think anyone on the feet is really going to give him any kind of an issue.
Ankalaev kind of jumps off the page at first, I think.
But, oh, God, yeah. So Ankalaev, so we've got, obviously, Jamal still as the champ, so this is a little bit out of date. But Jamal, Jiří, obviously that's Alex. So Jamal, he's going to be next. Jiří Prochazka just got beat. Magomed Ankalaev, definitely an issue. Jan Blachowicz have been there before. He was pissed off as well. He was fired up afterwards.
He was.
He was really fired up. I think all of them, to be honest, are tough matchups. I don't think, he might be able to knock them all out, but I don't think any of them would be mismatches on paper. Even our very own Anthony Smith.
Give it to him.
The only
Alex is mad at Anthony.
What's that, Harrington?
Said he's the only one ranked as high as he is coming off of a win. Just saying.
Yeah, but we can't say that. Otherwise, we are going to get called biased. But I think if Anthony gets one more win, and if he keeps talking shit about Pereira, you never know.
Maybe he should start actually talking shit now. Like now he can like
proper
actually
shit.
Talk shit. Yeah.
Yeah, I just said that. Do a Jan Blachowicz. Because Jan Blachowicz is, I forget what he said now in some tweets, but.
He called him slimy or something like that. Like he called him slimy and something. I don't know. Like I was saying, I'd never seen him talk about anyone like that before. Like it seems so out of character. Then like I was reading it. Like this is either he really got this mad or this is just someone finally advising him smart in terms of putting himself in the mix for the fight.
Yeah. Well, listen, either way, well done to Alex Pereira. Let's have a look. Here we go. This is light heavyweight. He said, I see. I need to clarify. What's the tweet before that? Brian, because he's clarifying now. So yeah, the one before it is where I think where he went full Conor McGregor, shall we say.
Speaking of that, I don't know if that's on your list to talk about, but Conor went hard at the Dagestan crew yesterday.
Because of Nurmagomedov testing positive?
Yeah, Usman, yep.
What was he saying?
He went after, he attributed to like an affront on their religion. He said that Khabib's father would be rolling over in his grave. Just like all this stuff where you're like, geez, man, there's just nothing off the table when that guy wants to talk shit.
Yeah, well, there never is. I mean, and then he was at it last week as well. I was in New York. I was going to do a video on it because when Usman popped, Islam. I didn't know about this. He pulled up, Islam Makhachev failed the USADA test.
He did
14 or 15. Yeah. And I think a fight against Drew Dober got pulled. So
I had no idea about that.
Yeah. But then later he was cleared. Apparently he had some, arrhythmia. I forget the name of it. He had some condition, you know, where he had to take a medication, which can can give performance enhancing, you know, properties. Mm-hmm. But apparently it was so tiny, it was such a small amount, and the doctor prescribed it. So he was, you sort of looked at all the case and said, no, he's fine. But yeah, Conor was bringing that up last week as well. As you say, he never misses an opportunity.
How big is the list? Like when you're in the organization and fight the USADA, I mean, of things that you can't take, is it just enormous, the number? Cause like sometimes you hear about things people pop for and then, and you're like, what? You know what I mean?
You just got to be careful. You know, I mean, Jeff Nowitzki, he told me a while ago, even on the listed ingredients, you've got to be careful because a lot of these supplements get made at the same plants, the same factories. Mm-hmm. So there might be one substance that goes through the processing machine, shall we call it, you know, through the processing plant. And then they finish that batch and then they start with a new product. But sometimes the first few tubs can be contaminated from the last product they were making because they never cleaned it down quite properly. And they said that is actually a real thing that does happen. So you just got to be super, super careful. But anyway, what do we know? I've never tested positive. So I wouldn't know too much about that, Jesse. All right, this episode is sponsored by Kudos Popcorn. You've probably seen it because they are the official protein popcorn of the UFC. Each bag of popcorn has 10 grams of whey protein isolate inside every bag. And by the way, this thing is keto friendly. And for a limited time, you guys can get 25% off the entire order with the code BELIEVE at kudosnacks.com. First of all, this stuff is delicious, okay? It comes in the garlic parmesan, the white cheddar, and the salty sweet kettle corn. My favorite is the garlic parmesan. It is delicious. So if you're sitting down, you're watching a movie, you want a snack, well, guess what? This will keep you guilt-free. If you've been keto all day, this will still keep you in ketosis. If you're trying to lose weight, but you need a snack, this is the way to go. There's so many reasons to make Kudo popcorn your new go-to snack. It's gluten-free. It's preservative-free, it's 100% whole grain, and as I said, it's keto-friendly and only has 70 calories per cup, and it's made right here in the US of A. One bite and Kudo popcorn will become your go-to healthy snack. So right now, get a hold of some. For a limited time, you guys can get 25% off when you go to kudosnacks.com and use the code BELIEVE, you will get a 25% discount. Kudosnacks.com, K-U-D-O, snacks.com. Use the code BELIEVE, get 25% off and support the official protein popcorn of the UFC. Harrington, Brian, tell us about the solar flare before we get to the rest of the fights.
Okay, so there is a thing these scientists are saying. That essentially, like, the sun will let off these massive blasts of energy, and it could take from the point the blast happens till it reaches Earth could take between 24 and I think it was 36 hours. In that time, we'll have to shut down pretty much all electricity. Right. They said it would fry computers, absolutely decimate pretty much anything electrical. They said it's happened one time before in the 1800s and it fried telegraph lines.
The last time this happened, it was called the Carrington event. And what happened?
The Harrington event?
Almost the Carrington event. And people were like picking up radio signals in their teeth and shit. Like things were going on fire. People were like picking up their telephone lines and getting other people's calls. And like, it was like a insane event.
When was
could
that?
Could it set off nuclear weapons by themselves? You know what I mean? Like what's, are they saying that this is going to happen or?
Yeah. So this is set to happen. I thought, Brian, when you turned the microphone on, I thought, because, you know, obviously Nostradamus has predicted lots of things, you know. I thought we were going to get a Category A conspiracy from Brian there because,
well, this is just,
you know,
a real.
Let's think about this. It's the government wants to shut down all electronic telecommunication.
No. This is how
Gaza or Ukraine or someone from the face of the earth. And then when it all comes back on, oh, I had no idea this was going to happen. I thought you were going to say something like that, Brian.
No, this is the
universe.
It was
the Carrington effect. We didn't shoot those nukes off.
This is how crazy the, like, just the universe is. This is just the universe trying to shit all over us. This is just, and this happens. This is like,
when was the Carrington event?
1959.
Are they projecting that it's going to happen soon?
So what they're saying is right now, solar maximum. Yeah, the sun goes through cycles. So this is like its biggest point right now. And they said within the next decade, there's a 1 in 10 chance this will happen. They said our early detection system, like we'd be able to catch like the blast that it emits before the initial burst of energy will be enough in our warning systems to tell us to essentially shut everything down.
You have 9 minutes.
No. It said between 24 and 48 hours.
So it's just like go stone age for the next 2 days.
Yeah. Yep. They said it could last for up to months.
Your unpowered electronics will be powered. That's what happens.
So, the situation here, obviously, a lot of bad can come from this. So I don't want to go down, I don't want to be unsympathetic. When I saw this headline and I sent it into the notes, we have a little group. So I sent it through because I was like, it said in the headline that I saw, the internet is going to go down for 3 months. Now, granted, that can cause all kinds of issues. But I was like, do you know what? 3 months without the internet, that sounds amazing. I mean, I know. Mm-hmm. Granted, we all scroll. We all use our phone too much, and we need to send emails, and we need communications, and we need this and that, and all the rest of it. But I was like, do you know what? The 90s was fucking awesome. Pre-internet, I was like, do you know what? I think it would do mankind the world of good. Now, granted, a lot of bad would come, but a lot of people would be less addicted to their phones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would. I feel like my YouTube AdSense would be pretty bad for those 3 months, but aside from that, it'd be good.
yeah, no, exactly. The YouTube businesses are going to plummet. Believe you me, he's going to go down the toilet. But still, I think we all use our phones too much. Jesse, what was the last recording on your, not recording, but they tell you the amount of hours on your phone, average? Man. Come on.
It's bad, dude. Like, it'll say... So, like the number I think has to be including like other people on my family plan, because it'll be like sometimes it says like 11 hours, you know. What does yours say?
Yeah, mine's pretty bad as well. Mine's bad sometimes, but it can't possibly. I mean, to be fair, I always say this. I make myself feel better because I'm like, well, this is work. I'm doing emails.
Yeah.
I'm doing a lot of things on the phone, but we are all addicted to the screens far, far, far too much. What would be the worst thing, Brian? Because I know you got doom and gloom, straight disaster. What would be the worst thing that could happen if the Carrington event lived up to its expectations?
Carrington event 2, Electric Boogaloo, would definitely ruin, your life would change instantly and dramatically. Your bank would be non-existent. Your phone wouldn't work. Your computer, your house would probably light on fire because of all the metal and electronics inside of it. That sounds
pretty bad.
It's apocalyptic.
Yeah.
When this happens, it is the end of everything that we know.
And what is your official stance on this, Brian? Are you?
That's not good. My official stance?
No. In the likelihood of this happening, because I feel like if this was going to happen, it would have been a bit of a bigger deal than just randomly popping up on a reel on my Instagram feed. The
problem with something like this is...
do you know what I mean? I think the news would be reporting on this a little bit more.
Now we can get into tinfoil hat stuff. I don't think that... if you ever see Don't Look Up, they pretty much talk about this and that, where it's like the public can't handle the end of the world. We would all turn into very violent chimps for those last few days. And I don't think that the people in charge, if they knew that this would happen and it was going to be that catastrophic, would tell anybody. It would just have to happen. And because those people would be getting their shit together for when the shit hits the fan and we're back to Planet of the Apes. And you wouldn't tell people.
Jesse raised his hand like a good little boy. Well done, Jesse. Yeah. You may have the floor.
I would counter that only because the fundamental infrastructure that society runs on is why all of the elites are the elites. It's like if all the regular folks lose their banking, lose their access to food and every other thing, they're coming for them. You know what I mean? It's like, if we really do have a warning system where it's just like shut everything down, everybody's going to find out about that inside 24 hours, most likely. But
well, that's where you get PMCs involved. So like
what's a PMC,
a private military corporation. So all these people that have all this money are going to be prepared. Like it won't just be like every man for himself.
The mass cull that certain people are calling for, saying that there's too many humans on planet Earth, and they're going to dress it up by a solar flare.
Well, this isn't something you can plan. No, if this happens, it's not something we planned or we did. This is just, like I said before, the universe literally pooping on us.
Yeah.
So it's just like a circumstance thing.
I'm just going to throw it out there. I hope this doesn't happen.
Me too.
I'll keep my screen addiction. Fuck it. Okay. I'll carry on looking at Instagram for 3 months. Fuck it. Because that sounds bad. That sounds really bad. Mackenzie Dern versus Jessica Andrade to get this show back on a stable footing. Mackenzie went out there, looked very, very good in round one, started getting a little bit more sloppy, shall we say, was carrying the chin a little high. The jab was working well for her. I gave her round one. I thought she looked good. Jessica Andrade kind of, was it the second round she got the stoppage in? I think it was, right?
Yeah.
Dropped her 4 times. And I will say fair play to Mackenzie Dern to pick yourself up off the canvas 3 times. You know, takes a lot of courage. Andrade coming into this one was under a lot of pressure. She'd lost the last 3 in a row, all stoppages. I thought she was very mature, you know, because it's easy to follow an opponent down when you've dropped them. Every time she was like, no, get back to your feet, get back to your feet. And then we got the stoppage later in the round. Great performance from Jessica Andrade. What were your thoughts, Jesse?
I thought...
Oh, look at that. What a left hook.
I know, man. I have thoughts kind of in two different categories. One just being Mackenzie kind of, it seems like her striking improves, but she clearly, you know, kind of like likes to have her head up like this. And I just, it seems like such a, let me ask you actually, because you would know better than me. Why do fighters sometimes just refuse to just train, you know, and start doing this, where they just, it seems like they just have their head stuck up like this every single fight, even when they start getting caught? It doesn't seem like it's that big of an adjustment to make, to just kind of, you know, why do you think they do that?
Well, the reason is that's why in training, a coach will be like, your chin's up, your chin's up. Personally, you don't think that it is. You know, that's why filming sparring sessions is a good idea, because sometimes, you know, within yourself, you can disagree with what the coach is saying. You know, you're carrying your left hand low. I used to get that a lot. I'm like, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. It's there. And then you see the footage back and you're like, oh shit, I was, you know, so it's that kind of thing. So I don't think Mackenzie was aware of it, you know, and that's a bad habit that's been allowed to fester throughout the training camp. You know what I mean? Her hands were improving. Yeah. She's world-class at jiu-jitsu. She's not training with Jason Perillo anymore. I know Dean Thomas and Joe Rogan had some comments about that throughout the thing, but I don't want to shit on Mackenzie Dern. She's a lovely girl. She really is. Just Jessica Andrade is a beast, you know?
Yeah.
She landed the heavier shots. Mackenzie couldn't get the takedown. If you can't get the takedown, you've got to stand with Jessica Andrade. And regardless of who you are, that's not an easy thing to do. Certainly with the chin a little high, a little exposed, you get carried away, the adrenaline takes over, and you start to get wild.
Mm-hmm. She's got nuclear power. The other thing I was saying, like on the other category, is just that, and obviously, like a blessing to both you and I have never had to go through this, but with Mackenzie going through a divorce and dealing with the thing with her kids, I just always wonder about that. Like that has to be such a crushingly heavy emotional thing to be dealing with, and then to try to simultaneously switch camps, focus on training, and really be efficient with what you're doing at practice. It just seems like a lot for anybody to be dealing with, and, you know, and come out your best for a fight. You agree with that?
So Juliana Pena, she was sat right behind me. So we were having a good chat. She was good company, actually, to be fair. She was a lot of fun. She was saying, you know, how messed up it was that they got matched up against each other because they both went through divorces. I don't know if you saw it. Jessica Andrade was saying that the reason I think that was a 5th fight this year. Or fourth or fifth this year. She said because she cost her a lot of money through the divorce, you know, and of course, Mackenzie went through a divorce as well. So, but to your point, to answer the question, going through personal troubles affects your fight career. It affects the discipline that you have to go to the gym. You know, if your mind isn't right, you're not going to fight the best. Simple as that. Fifth fight this year, Harrington.
Fifth fight this year.
So, wow. Yeah, it's a lot of emotional baggage to be carrying around. You know, and yep. I think we saw that from Mackenzie when she fought Angela Hill. Because Angela Hill, you know, I mean, it was a great performance against her. It was a 5-round dominant decision. And she was angry. She was mad. And she beat the living shit out of her. You know what I mean? But she was definitely a little emotional. And being emotional in a fight is not going to help you. It just isn't. Yeah. And I learned that the hard way. It took me to almost 40 years old, you know, to figure out that getting mad is not the best way to have a fight. It just isn't. Yeah. And yeah, well done to Jessica. Mackenzie Dern will be back. Yeah. Who do you think next for Jessica Andrade?
So I actually got confused about this. That fight was at strawweight, right? Like someone, because I thought it was. Yeah. Okay. So I said that wrong on my channel yesterday or the day before, and someone corrected me. So, man, Andrade. She could fight the other girl from China. That'd be a really interesting fight.
Yan Zhao Nan.
Yeah.
Yeah, she just got beat by her.
Oh, she did. Oh, that's who beat her. Hang on, let me see. So Tatiana Suarez,
Tatiana beat her last, I think, as well. I mean, to be fair to Mackenzie, she's been fighting very, very tough opposition. So
yeah. Oh, I thought you were saying Andrade. So are we talking about who should Andrade fight next or Mackenzie?
Yeah, Andrade.
What about, I mean, Carla Sparza is at number one, but that's the only one she hasn't lost to before that's in like that same kind of ranking class as her.
That's actually a good shout, Harrington.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
That's a good call.
All right.
Carla is a tiny, tiny human. I stood right next to her after 274. And like the belt is as big as her torso. I was like, it's so crazy. You see them on television and everybody kind of looks the same size. And then like, you know, there's such a little savage in such a small body. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know. She's great. So there we are, exposing our lack of knowledge on the women's divisions. I'm tired. Okay. My brain's not working properly. I should have pulled an Anthony Smith and called in sick today. Let me see. So Benoit Saint-Denis got an incredible start pitch. That head kick was phenomenal. I think he's going to go a very, very long way. Called out Dustin Poirier, who I said he was sat next to me. He just kind of smirked. He wasn't offended. You got to do that. He called out Justin Gaethje. Who else did he call out? But what were your thoughts?
Gamrot.
Gamrot too, yeah. And then he said he thanked, you know, he's a special forces guy from France, and he thanked the United States for saving France's ass in World War II. And it's like, he was completely serious. And I just thought that was so gangster for some reason. Like, it was like,
well,
you know, cause he's
it's
like,
a good
he's
way to, it's hard. A good way to kiss ass in America. Let's be honest.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. But he pulled it off completely, like totally serious. And I was like, damn. And I put on Instagram, I'm like, well, I'm rooting for this guy forever now. You know,
yeah, no, he's really
he's a tough motherfucker, man. I like
he's gonna go a very, very long way.
I felt bad for Matt Frivola. I was like this dude is he feels like he should be in a weight class up, to be honest. He's like a little big
Saint-Denis.
Yeah.
Has he ever missed?
Probably not.
I think his first fight in the UFC, though, was like a short notice fight at welterweight. So I think he does have some 170 experience. He did say he wanted the main event for when the UFC goes back to France.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be – he earns. Yeah, I mean, he's earned that kind of shot. He has. And then opening up the main event, Diego Lopez absolutely smoked Pat Sabatini, which is not an easy thing to do. Diego Lopez, I mean, what's that, three fights now? Three fights, I think, in the UFC. Lost his first one, won his second. That one there again, another very, very quick finish. Keep an eye on that name. Diego Lopez, he is going to go very, very far. Featherweight division, I think it's not going to be long.
Yeah, he's fast, man. Like, that guy is super fast. And I loved his tattoo. I was talking about you with Gabrielle because his tattoo says, believe... or it says dream, believe, and then make it happen.
No.
And I was like, that's across his chest. And so I was like, I'm pretty sure it's dream, believe, achieve. And I'm like, yeah, watch Michael Bisping quote. This is the funniest shit ever. I showed her a short of you saying it to Rockhold. Because of his tattoo across his chest.
Oh, bless. Well, he kind of got it wrong. Come on, Diego. All right, let's talk about Fitbod, which is the smart workout app that designs workouts for you. If you can't afford a personal trainer because that costs a lot of money, you need to take advantage of the Fitbod smart app, okay? What it does, it creates custom dynamic exercises based on your goals, experience, and the equipment that's available. The algorithm uses data and analytics to scientifically build your next best workout, and so you can maximize results. You can see your muscle usage, recovery, achievements, all right there in the app. And the best thing is that all the exercise comes with an instructional video, over 1,400 high definition videos. So regardless of what you've got to your availability, a gym, a park, your garage, whatever it is, you put it in there and it will design a workout base just for you. And for less than the cost of one session with a personal trainer, you will get access to a full year of personalized workouts with Fitbod. Fit exercise into your schedule, because the best time of the day to exercise is whenever you're free. And as I said, this thing's fantastic. It works on iOS. It works on all Android. The app is super easy to use with the video tutorials. It makes learning the exercises a breeze and, of course, stops you from injuring yourself. So if you've hit a plateau, if you want to get motivated, if you just need some new workouts, go to fitbod.me/believe. You will get 25% off your subscription, or you can try the app out for free when you sign up right now at fitbod.me/believe. That is 25% off your subscription, or try it for free at fitbod.me/believe. Harrington, there was a bit of action in Times Square. When was that? Thursday night? I think it was Thursday night or Friday night with Jamal Hill and the pro-Palestine people.
I heard about this.
Talk us through, set the scene for us, Harrington.
Yeah, I think it was Friday night. There was like a large demonstration, because I know they shut down Grand Central actually with their actions. You know, they were taken to the street looking for justice in Palestine, and the UFC van came along. I guess it was doing like a media appearance or something like that. But I know Jamal Hill was on there, Robbie Lawler was on there, a number of other fighters, and the pro-Palestinian crowd surrounded the bus, made it so that they couldn't move, and then just started banging on the windows to the point where they actually cracked the glass. Jamal Hill was live on Instagram for part of it.
Let's have a listen. Attack right now by some protest or something that's going on. They're breaking our windows and all this and that. You know, like,
stay please.
I have any of my people down here downtown, and you really got me, bro. Come get these people up off our bus, bro.
Now, but he's by himself. He's about to get fucked. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
man, bro. I need you to stay calm right now.
Dylan.
Bro, what is, bro?
This is.
Bro, something hit me in my face, bro. When you hit the glass, bro, something hit me in my face, bro.
Because we kind of bumped cheeks. It might have been my face.
This is such a weird.
We got QRF coming right now. They're going to come.
A very strange time in our history, bro. This is big.
Anyway. So there we've got Jamal Hill losing it, fired up. If a piece of glass somehow hit him in the face or something hit him in the face, I don't blame him. But the reports have come out on that bus was also ruthless Robbie Lawler. And I've heard some people told me, because there's a few UFC fighters on the bus and people are mad, people are angry. They're like, well, kick their asses, whatever. And the whole time when Jamal was losing his shit or whatever, Robbie Lawler's just sitting there going, everyone stay calm, conserve your energy. Because if we're going to have to fight, we're going to have to fight a lot of people. So just conserve your energy. And I'm like,
what a gangster.
What a badass. He's like, it's like a fucking demon. He's like, conserve your energy. Because if it goes off, it's going off big. And so I think someone else said as well, they got to realize, what's that movie? And he says, when will you realize I'm not locked in here with you?
The Watchmen.
You're locked in here with me. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, bro, guys, they're not in danger. if shit hits the fan, you fucked with the worst boss in all of New York City. That's not a bunch of little schoolgirls. It's not a bunch of bloody, you know, I don't know, train spotters or anything like that. That's got the baddest men in the planet in a bus coming back from an appearance. Yeah, Harrington.
They the follow-up to the story, the UFC people, their security team and their personnel actually made it to the bus and were able to get the guys off safely before NYPD was able to hit the scene. So good on the UFC for taking care of their fighters.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for that essential piece of information, Harrington. We were having a really nice flowy conversation there. We were having a good laugh. The security showed up and did their job, and that's that.
And NYPD didn't. Any chance to shit on NYPD? I'm here.
Whoa.
So hypothetically, let's say that the pro-Palestine protesters was like a wave of like World War Z zombies. Like how many of them are unconscious before they can overwhelm Jamal and Robbie Lawler together?
I'm telling you, it would look like the beginning of Lord of the Rings with Sauron just swinging and fucking people just going flying. That's what it would look like.
It'd be hilarious. Yeah. It would be. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. it wouldn't be a fair fight. Let's be honest. No. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, we don't want to get into all of that stuff because it's, you know, it's bloody awful what's going on there. And we stay away from it for obvious reasons because people come here to listen to me talk about how tired, how bad my voice is and how hungover I am sometimes. Harrington, we're going to keep this as a much, much shorter show today for obvious reasons. I just went into them. What's the big breaking story or what news have we not got to just yet?
Yeah, so the one piece of breaking news, actually, it's like hitting everywhere on Twitter and Instagram this morning. Leon Edwards made a statement, says that after he beats Colby Covington, the only thing he's interested is a shot at the winner of Dricus versus Sean Strickland at 185.
I was thinking that now that Izzy is a middleweight champion, that might open the door for you wanting to move up.
100%, definitely.
Is that on the cards?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. I feel, especially with someone like Strickland, and I think he's fighting Duplessis. Soon. So any of them two would be great to fight, you know. So
how do you think you match up with those big boys?
Perfect. I'm big myself, so
yeah, you're not small.
Yeah, I feel like that would be perfect. You know, I feel like me going out there being double champ. Wow. First ever from the UK anyway to do it. That's definitely one of my goals. So
really,
that's on the cards for sure.
Rough time frame.
Well, fair play to him. You know. Listen, you can't hate on that because he's got to be confident going up against Colby. It's going to be a tough fight, but I feel like he's going to pull it off. We'll see. And other people are getting opportunities to do this, left, right, and center. Volkanovski just had two shots in a row. So you can't blame Leon Edwards for wanting to do that. And to the point of him saying that I'm big, he is. I've said this before. I sat down, I think it was about a year ago, at UFC something, whatever it was. And I was sat next to Izzy, and there was someone next to him. And Izzy and the person, which was Leon Edwards, was standing up. And I thought, that's Leon. I'll say hi. And then I thought, it can't be Leon. It must be somebody that looks like Leon because he was so tall. So Leon, when you're next to him, he's a big, tall boy. What do you think about that?
Yeah. I think that the reason I was smirking is I was just thinking that Bilal Muhammad must just think that there's like a conspiracy to just troll him into the ground about his title shot. You know, he must be so pissed when he sees that. He's like, are you fucking serious? I've won 10 straight fights, you know. I mean, I don't think Leon's going
to
get.
You bring up a good point, to be fair.
Yeah.
You bring up a good point.
I don't think they're not going to do that fight, I don't think, at middleweight, you know. So, you know, but him going for it, I mean, why not? But you don't think they'll give it to him, do you?
No, who knows? But it all depends what happens, what the landscape is. You know what I mean? You never know. I don't think so. But crazier things have happened. But to your point, though, I'm glad you brought up Bilal because he's already tweeted about it. I think he said, and I'm paraphrasing, something like, this just proves that they're scared because Colby wants to go up to 185 as well. Leon's talking about 185 and Bilal, of course, he's doing his thing. He's talking shit. You know, he's stirring the pot and he has won a lot of fights. He said, this just proves that they're scared. Talk to me about that one, though. What do you think? Leon versus Colby. What are your thoughts on that?
Man, it's such a hard fight to predict, in, as far as I can tell, just because the two factors that I think kind of really play in a big way are, I think in a pure forget about cardio and any other thing striking match, I think Leon is gonna land a lot of shots on Colby, you know, just with his straight 1-2, a lot of, you know, great kicks too. But when you look at the first Kamaru fight the second one of the three. It seemed like in that fight, up until the head kick, Kamaru was able to kind of wear Leon down with kind of pressing him against the fence and then getting the takedown. And Colby is so good at that. It's really hard for me. I wouldn't feel confident picking either guy. you know?
Yeah, I'm leaning towards Leon, the way that he dealt with Kamaru the second time. Well, sorry, the third time. Yeah. But you never know, Kamaru was coming back from being knocked out cold. That's why that was a gangster move for Kamaru to do that, to step right back in the ring and get someone that put him to sleep, because that will have an effect on you. But still, I'm English. I'm going to root for our guys. I always do. But I can look at it objectively.
Well, I'm going to say Kamaru Usman boxed Colby Covington out. So I don't think that Leon Edwards is going to have a problem at all.
Yeah, yeah. I think for Colby, the main approach is that he is like an Energizer bunny. He never stops coming. The pace is ridiculous. So he's going to – Leo's just going to maintain separation at all times, because if Colby gets in on a single, on a body lock, on any kind of clinch, he chain wrestles one to the next, to the next, to the next, and he never, ever, ever stops coming. It's going to be a fun one, though. And that night, by the way, I'll be doing Tales from the Octagon too. So myticket.co.uk if you want a ticket. And we will be joined on stage by the champ, Tom Aspinall and Paul Craig. You know, it's funny, Tom messaged me just before. He said, it just occurred to me. He said, fucking hell. He said, could you imagine if I still had to do that show and I just got knocked out against Sergey? I'm like, no, I know. I said, I did think about that eventuality, Tom, but fortunately that didn't happen. You're the champ. So that's going to be amazing. MyTicket.co.uk, December 14th and December 16th. And on the 16th, Leon's fighting Colby. And also that night, Tony Ferguson will be returning against Paddy the Baddy. And have you seen who Tony's training with?
David Goggins.
David Goggins. Harrington, do we have any footage or anything like that? Or is it just... I mean, I've been seeing a lot of footage of Tony Ferguson throwing up and stuff like that, being pushed to the limit by David Goggins. I mean, David Goggins, he was recruited by John Jones, remember, when he came back and fought Cyril Garn? You know, and if anyone's going to talk to you about getting your mind right, David Goggins is the man.
Yeah. The fact that he can torture train Tony to... I mean, in fairness, I don't know if Tony made himself puke a lot when he was training also, but... It just seems crazy because Tony is known for just training all day, every day. Goggins is just a machine.
Let's have a look here.
Let's see this. Come on. Come on. Come on, Tony.
I mean, it all depends what he's done before that, because Goggins is there. They're striding fast. They're marching up the treadmill on a serious incline. So, you know, but Goggins is taking it well. He's still talking. He's still coaching. So before that, Ferguson must have been running sprints or something like that. You know what I mean? And it's not surprising because, as we know, Tony does like these very, very strange, curious workout methods. However, I have seen a few people talking about it, about Goggins not being the right fit. You know, long distance runs, long distance running, things like that. This is 15 minutes. 15 minutes of high output, fast work, sprinting, power, things like that. I mean, Goggins will help get your mind right, but I'm not sure if running ultra marathons across Africa is that necessarily what's going to give you the best version of yourself for 15 minutes.
That's fair. Yeah, I just think, like, I mean, obviously, I'm seeing 2 minutes of a training camp, so yeah. I can't say what else he's doing. But I definitely think that if there is a part of Tony Ferguson's game that I never factored into any time I was trying to predict a fight, it was, is he going to run out of gas? You know, like, Tony Ferguson just seemed to be a guy who had endless cardio. So I don't know. I mean, again, he could just be doing his cardio stuff, and then he's doing a bunch of other stuff related to sharpening up his skills. I mean, I have no idea, but
yeah, I think main thing for Tony Ferguson and that David Goggins can help with is the mind. You know, obviously losing six in a row, that's going to affect your confidence. It just is. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who you are. And Tony Ferguson's a warrior. He's been in there with some of the best in the world. He's a legend of the game. He truly is. But losing six in a row, I mean, you've got to respect the man. It takes a lot of balls to keep stepping back in there. Certainly when people are saying that you're done, people are saying that you need to retire. So if there's one man on planet Earth that's going to help fix this, I'd say David Goggins is that person. And you never know. Tony comes back, gets a win against Paddy Pimblett, and it's not a crazy bad matchup for him, you know? So, hey, listen, if Tony can pull it off, fair play to the man. fair play.
During your career, like, what was the, if you had to pick a single fight where you felt like you were most under pressure related to your career, when then you came back and like, and you won the fight, like, could you pick one out easily?
I mean, there was a lot. There was a lot, to be fair. Certainly when I came back with the eye injury, that was that was mentally tough, just getting adjusted to that. When I got knocked out cold off Dan Henderson, and then I fought UFC 105 against Dennis Kang, a man that was a very tough fight on paper, but didn't have the fan recognition to the casuals. I was like, shit, I'm fighting a tough guy here that a lot of people don't know about, but he's had an amazing career in Pride. So, yeah, I think that was a tough one, coming back from a vicious knockout like that, which Tony's done. I mean, look at that front kick against Michael Chandler, you know?
I was there. I was there for that one.
He got choked out against Bobby. Not Bobby Green. Who was it last time? Who choked
Bobby
him out?
Bobby Green.
It was Bobby Green. Yeah. So he's in a tough spot, and I think working with Davey Goggins is a good choice. Actually, you know, now I'm talking myself into it. So we're gonna do a short show today. There's gonna be no questions because I'm knackered. I've got no voice. Jesse, where do people find you? The YouTube channel. Talk to me about that stuff, man, because that is blowing up all the time.
I'm trying, man. Jesse on Fire YouTube channel, and on Instagram, Real Jesse on Fire, Twitter, Real Jesse on Fire. And that's what we do. Just trying to put out content and talk about all this nonsense.
And you don't hold back.
No, I do not.
Do not one little bit. So thanks for jumping on today. We'll be back on Thursday with Mark Goddard, maybe Tom Aspinall. I'm going to reach out to him. I don't want to bother him. Do you know what I mean? He's like, fucking hell, Mike, leave me alone. I know we're friends, but you're kind of taking the piss now. So Mark Goddard will join us. Anthony will be back. Hopefully Tom or somebody will be joining us as well. Herringbone.
If you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure that you're subscribed to the channel. Leave us a 5-star rating, positive review. It really helps us out. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you're subscribed to the YouTube channel. Hit that notification bell to find out whenever a new episode drops. And if you want to catch over 500 episodes you can't find anywhere else, completely ad-free and totally uncensored, head to gasdigital.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get a 7-day free trial. Check out over 20 great shows on the network.
And that's it. That's the show. Big thanks to Jesse for jumping in. I appreciate it. You've been carrying me along. And I apologize to you all. I'm not myself, man. I'm so tired. I'm out of it. I can't think straight. So if you're still here and you're still watching, I appreciate you very much. But Thursday, we'll be back with a killer show. Jesse, you're the man. Thank you.
Thank you.